Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, we're all wired to worship and to live and express faith in someone or something. Which faith is true? There's a lot of belief systems out there. And next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study which faith you can count on. Stay with us. That's next on Daily in the Word. You know, there sure are a lot of belief systems out there and a lot of people that claim to have the corner on truth. But the fact is, there's one set of truth that you can count on. There's one God and one word that He's given to us. Amongst all the faiths, there's one that rises above all of them. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to answer the question, which faith? Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, that features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to open God's Word with you. And today we're going to answer the question, which faith? By the way, don't forget you can find out more about this ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional and the podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on your phone or iPod or computer. All of that and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 as we study self-realization or effective prayer. Here's Paul Chappell.
You have someone who loves you and someone who will forgive you. And I want you to understand, church, this morning, that we have someone who is that to us. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's not one of the illumined ones. And He's not merely an avatar, but He is the very Son of God making intercession for us this morning. A missionary friend of mine was witnessing down in Mexico. He gave a lady a gospel tract. She said, "I don't need this." She said, "I pray to Mary for my problems." He said, "Well, ma'am, let me ask you a question. If you were very sick and you had problems with your stomach and you had the choice of calling the doctor or the doctor's mother, who would you call?" You will find in many faith traditions that Jesus Christ is subtly replaced or that others are subtly elevated to His level. But my Bible says there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My Bible says we are to lift Him high and give Him what is called the preeminence, you see. And Jesus Christ is the preeminent mediator, the only Son of God. He and He alone can take your prayers to heaven. And He alone can forgive your sin and mine. Paul Harvey told the story about a three-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mother. Even on the way in, his mother said, "Now, son, don't you ask me for chocolate chip cookies." She knew his weakness. How many of you have a chocolate chip cookie weakness just while I'm thinking of it? Yes, I see that hand. I won't get you to raise it any other time, but I'm seeing it now, chocolate chip cookies. And many of us have that weakness, don't we? He came in the store. He said, "Mommy, please." I mean, he hadn't been in that store just a few minutes. "Mommy, please. Can I just have one bag of chocolate?" "No, son," I said, "no chocolate chip cookies." Well, he did pretty good until the cookie aisle. When he saw those cookies, please, mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies, mommy?" How many of you see this in the store regularly, a conversation like this between a child and a parent? "No, you're not having any chocolate chip cookies." Finally, They got to the end of the cookie row. The mother felt relieved. There were several dozen people in the line standing there to get through the register and so forth. And as they stood there, that little child stood up in that cart and he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask for chocolate chip cookies." Paul Harvey said, some people laughed, some people applauded, and when the mother left the store, there were 23 different cases of chocolate chip cookies in that basket. Now, he may not have had the right attitude, but his theology was right. He knew who to pray through. He knew who his mediator was. The revelation of our mediator is made very clear, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Hey, you don't need to go to Sedona and sit on the red rocks. You don't need to go to Ojai and sit there with somebody in his bathrobe from India and close your eyes and try to visit grandmother. You don't need somehow to try to get a hold, as they talk in these books, about your oneness of your one, whatever that means, my friend. What you need is to realize you already have a mediator, and his name is Jesus. Us. That's his name. The revelation of our mediator. But notice secondly, the relationship with our mediator. What kind of a relationship do we have with our mediator as Christians? How does that work? Well, notice what it says in verse 15, please. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." I want you to know this about Jesus. He empathizes with our infirmities. The word here, to be touched with the feeling, is an interesting Greek word, sympatheo. It is the root word from which we get the word sympathy. And it tells us Jesus sympathizes with us. He feels with us. Oh, I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus Christ went one day out into the wilderness as he was led of the Holy Spirit, and for 40 days and 40 nights he was without food. When he came from that time of trying and temptation, the devil came to him and said, "If you be the Son of God, cast these stones into bread." On another occasion, Jesus Christ heard of the loss of a friend by the name of Lazarus, and the Bible says Jesus wept. On other occasions, he went through various types of trials, and then finally to the old rugged cross where he suffered the pain and agony of the crown of thorns and the Roman nails. I'm simply telling you this morning, I don't know what your infirmity is today, and I don't know what is heavy on your heart today, but we have a mediator who's not just some spirit in the spirit world, but he is the Son of God who came to this world and who physically, literally experienced this world, so that when you pray, he knows. He understands. He sympathizes. A little boy was in church in Kentucky. He was about 5. He had the jitters that morning, and the pastor was preaching way too long. His mother said, "Shh, shh." Finally, she even pinched him. How many of you have ever had the motherly pinch? She used every technique known to man to try to get him to be quiet. He would not be quiet. Finally, in a rage of desperation, she stood up. She grabbed that boy. She threw him over her shoulder. And she started walking out of that church. And he was hung over her shoulder looking at all the people. And they were all looking at him. And as he was looking at him, he said, "Y'all pray for me now." That boy needed some sympathy. He needed the comfort of God for his life. God empathizes with our infirmities. But notice, secondly, it's even better than that. He entered into our infirmities. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth, He is not just a God who says, "I'm going to sit up here in heaven and feel real sorry for you." He is the God who came to us. This is what we celebrate at the Christmas season. His incarnation. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says in verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In every way, God says his Son was tempted, and Christ was tested in every way to show that he was the flawless and the perfect Son of God. Oh, what a comfort to know that when we approach the throne of grace, that we have a relationship with a mediator who can feel what we feel and who has been tempted like we have been tempted. And yet in all points, he was faithful, and we can come to him knowing that he cares and knowing that he understands. The revelation of our mediator is this simple fact, that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. And then the relationship with our mediator is a relationship of sympathy and comfort and encouragement and understanding. But notice finally this morning, the response to our mediator. How do we respond to all of that? God's Son came down, seeing then. He sympathizes with us. He wants to help us. What's the proper response to that kind of love? Listen, millions of Americans, you know what their response is? No, thank you. I don't want this Judeo-Christian ethic. I'll go ahead and follow the satanic pattern of the New Agers. That's their response. Now look at what the Bible says in verse number 16. Let us, what's the next word say? Therefore. Let us, therefore. Now that we know who our mediator is, and now that we know he cares, what's the right response to him? Is the right response to never talk to him? Is the right response to never listen to his word? Is the right response to turn our back on him? And in other words, he has been revealed, and his care has been told to us, and we know that he died for us. Therefore, what should we do? Millions of Christians, therefore, never even pray. Never seek his face. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The response to our mediator, I want to give you three quick responses. First of all, we need to adhere to our profession. Adhere to our profession. Notice this in verse 14. The Bible says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Notice this, let us hold fast our profession. Since we have now a mediator, let's not turn to the New Age philosophies. And many Christian so-called teachers have brought New Age teachers to their platform to expound on how to intertwine Eastern meditation with biblical theology. My friend, there is to be no intertwining of that which is wicked and that which is holy. And we are not here to propose the marriage of these two, for Jesus Christ alone is the mediator to God. We're not to bring in other professions. The Bible says in verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. That is our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That is our commitment to him. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. And the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, as the day of the Lord's return approaches, and as false religion is on the rise, we're not supposed to be messing around with all the philosophies of this world, but we're to hold fast to that which God has given to us. We're to thank God that he saved us by his grace, that we've been washed in his blood. We're to hold true to the sound doctrine of the word of God. My friend, beware of these hybrid faiths. Beware of this ecumenicism that downplays the role of Jesus Christ in our lives. This new spirituality is something that is not new at all. It's the old trick of the devil to pull God's people away from the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to adhere to our profession. Secondly, our response is to acknowledge his invitation. Notice that in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. He says, I want you to approach me. And I don't want you to feel like you can't speak to me. I don't want you to say, but God, I haven't prayed in so long, I feel like a hypocrite to come and pray right now. And I don't want you to say, but God, I've done some bad things. For 1 John 1:9 says that if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. God says, don't make excuses. Just come. If you believe in me and if my son is your mediator, then come. Oh, I want you to understand this morning. There's a benevolent God in heaven who loves you. He wants to give you mercy. He says, come to me. Come, therefore. Come boldly. Have freedom in speaking. I believe today that parents in this room would say to their children, hey, I want you to come to me whenever there's a burden. I want you to come and share with me. Let me know how I can help. I want you to know that I'm on your side. How can I be an encouragement to you? He says, I want you to come boldly to me. I hesitate to use this illustration. This past week, our youngest son, Matt, was in a car accident. He called and I answered the phone. Probably the worst call a dad can get is that call. First question I said, are you okay? That's the first question a parent asks. He was shooken up, but he was okay. Really, that's all that mattered. I'll tell you what, when he called me, I rushed over that intersection, put my arm around him, just stood by him. Just tried to be there with him during that time. Tried to just wait with him as everybody got situated, made sure no one else was hurt. I'm so glad that he called. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to be there. I wouldn't want my son saying, well, Dad wouldn't want to hear from me, or Dad's going to be mad, or Dad, I don't think I can call him. I want my son to know that no matter where he's at, no matter what's happened, he can call. It's my delight to go to be with him. I wanted to be there with him. I didn't want him standing on the corner of 30th and J by himself. Thank God for some church members who were there with him. But everything within me, the minute I heard about that, had to rush to get there to be with my son and stand there with him and let him know that I loved him and I'm glad he called me and I don't want him to be timid. I want him to be bold to call. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a God in heaven who wants to hear from you, and it doesn't matter what you've done and it doesn't matter where you've been. He loves you and he says, come to me. Don't be timid. And I'll come to you and I'll throw my arms around you and I'll stand there with you. And I understand. I've been there. And I want you to know that the love that I have for my son is great, but it doesn't compare to the love that God the Father has for you. And he says, come. Acknowledge his invitation. One dad was trying to teach his children how to pray. He had a daughter, Kelly, and a son, Cody. They'd kneel down and pray, and for months and months they prayed, and for a period of time, Kelly kept ending her prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, all the girls. And finally, her dad said, Kelly, why do you always say, in Jesus' name, all the girls? She said, well, Dad, you always say, in Jesus' name, all men. Now, she may not have had her ending just right, but she was talking to Jesus. God says, therefore, come boldly. Come boldly. I don't know what your need is this morning, but you can tell Jesus. I don't know what your burden is this morning, but Jesus is going to stand there, and he's your advocate, and even when you've done wrong, he's going to forgive you. And the fact that he shed his blood speaks to the Father, and it says forgiveness, and it speaks to you, and it says forgiveness. He's the go-between. He's the mediator. He's the intercessor, and he gives hope to the helpless and rest for the weary and comfort for the lonely and love for the broken heart and grace and forgiveness and mercy and healing and whatever it is you need today. He's got it for you, and he says, come, and I'll give it to you. It's not called the throne of judgment. It's called the throne of grace. Because he loves you. Some of you, with all due respect, you never knew the love of a father. All you knew was harshness. Or you never knew the love of a mother. Or you never knew the love of a family. And it's hard to comprehend this type of a God. But he cares. And he calls out to you. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hey, the Bible says, since Jesus shed his blood, and since he's inviting us to come in, let's draw near to him with full assurance of faith. And when you pray, you know that he loves you. And when you pray, you know that he has your best interest in mind. And when you pray, you know that he's going to forgive you. Why? Because he's a loving and a gracious Heavenly Father. Oh, I don't need self-realization. I had that years ago. I'll tell you about my self-realization. I realized that I am a sinner fallen short of the glory of God. I realize about myself that without Jesus, there's no hope. And without His forgiveness, there's no heaven. That's all you need to realize about yourself. Beyond that, the greatest truths in life are the truths about Jesus Christ Himself. Hey, there's nothing great about me, but there's a lot great about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only should we adhere to our profession, not only should we acknowledge His invitation, but then may I say finally, we must accept His grace. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Notice this. And find grace to help in time of need. He has strengthening grace. This is a benevolent invitation. God says, I have strength to help you. I don't know what your tension is, but you don't need to sit around trying to meditate about it unless your meditation is upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He says, I don't know what your struggle is, but I have grace to help you. I have an inner working of my spirit to sustain you. I have the ability to help you go on another day. I have the ability to encourage you. Romans 8:15 says it this way, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He says, hey, this is not about a far-fetched relationship. You're adopted into my family. You're born again by my spirit. I want you to cry out to me, Abba, Father, Daddy, I need your help. And He says, when you cry out, I'll be right there. That's what it means to have a heavenly Father, someone who cares. He has strengthening grace. He'll give you grace to help in time of need. But you know, not only does He strengthen those who call, but He also has saving grace this morning. Did you know that? No matter how bad things have become, no matter how far away from God you may have been, He wants to save you today. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to wash it away with His blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. He wants to give you a home in heaven so that when you die, you will know where you will spend eternity. And it's all by grace. You see, the Christians are sustained by grace, but the lost are saved by grace. Ephesians says in chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, I want to tell you something, friend. Salvation is not earned. You don't go to heaven by getting baptized in the baptistry water. You don't go to heaven by putting money in the offering plate. We don't work for it, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all by the grace of God. And when a sinner comes to this loving God and says, God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Lord, I repent of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. He will in no wise cast you out. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God that on April the 5th, 1972, as a young man, when I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to be my Savior. He heard my cry. He came into my heart. He cleansed my sin away. I'm glad today. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And if you're not saved this morning, you can be by simply calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find when you do that His grace is sufficient. And based upon His word, your sins are cleansed away. And He'll give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. Oh, you can trust in the Eastern avatars and illumined ones. Or you can put your trust in the mediator, Jesus Christ. The choice is yours. Father, thank you for teaching us about your mediating work through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as your people to never take for granted the privilege of prayer. Help us to never be gullible to the teachings of the New Age. Help us to follow the faith once delivered.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We're currently studying a series entitled Which Faith? We're studying the differences between the humanistic, globalistic philosophies of our day and the truth of the Word of God. And friend, of course, the most important truth of this series and the question we're wrestling with is, who do you place your faith in? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior? That's the greatest question you could ever consider. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.